Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together.
Father, I thank you. I honor you. You're good. I thank you, God, for being so patient with us. For being so present with us, God. When anything and everyone else leaves us, you don't. Lord, in this place, in this season, as so many doors are opening, God, allow us not to run from harvest. To miss harvest, to misrepresent harvest, and to not be good stewards over harvest. Thank you, God, for bringing us to a harvest season that is so plentiful. It may not look the way we thought it was going to look, but we're grateful that we're here. In Jesus' name, amen. Whew. All right. Thank you, Lord. So a recap. This is a recap. I need us all to remember, we've been talking about seed, time, harvest. Scripture says as long as the earth remains, there will always be seed, there will be time, there will be harvest. That's the way it works. It's a process. It's a cycle. You plant, you wait, you harvest. That's the way it happens. Now, you need to know what part of that you're in, whether or not you're in the planting, the waiting, or the harvest. Even if you're in the harvest, like many of us are right now, and if y'all not hearing me in the spirit, I need you to. Harvest is upon us. I need you to hear me. Harvest is upon us, and it don't look the way that some of us thought it was going to look. But trust me when I tell you, we're right here at it. Okay? Yep. And so when we get to harvest, harvest is not the end, though. It's not the end of the story. First of all, when you get to harvest, you should go back to plant again. But in addition to that, harvest actually begins a process of processing the harvest itself. It's not like you get that harvest from the ground and it's immediately ready. You got to work it. You got to process it. You got to go through the steps. It is, you reap it, you thresh it, you clean it, you transport it. Again, you reap it. So I got it. I got hold to it. I thresh it, that's the separation, I clean it, and then I transport it. There are there's some questions I had you ask, three of them to be exact. There are three questions I had you ask yourself as you are getting to harvest, and it would behoove you guys really to ask yourself these questions right now, because let me say again, harvest is upon us. Now, somebody's going to catch this in the spirit. I'm going to keep saying it until it lock in. Because you have to stop thinking that God doesn't want to give you harvest. Let's be clear here. What did he say? The harvest is plentiful. Isn't it the Bible? The laborers are what? Come on. The harvest is what? The laborers are what? All right. So there's always a harvest available. The problem is not the harvest. The problem is the laborer. The problem is not the harvest. The problem is the laborer. I remember, I believe it was Jay-Z who said, who said they were asking him about, you know, his success and his money and all of those type of things. And his response was, all of us got the same 24. I believe it was Jay-Z. He said, all of us got the same 24. And so what he was saying is, I don't understand why you think I'm special. The differentiator between what I have and what you have is not that I'm special. It's that I did something different than you. We all got the same amount of time. They asked Arnold Schwarzenegger about, you know, his winning Mr. Olympiad and how big he is. And his response was, I don't have any different muscles than you do. Everybody in this room has the exact same muscles in their body. The difference is how much work you put into them. He put enough work into his body to become a champion, right? And so it is not that we, you know, those who have made it have more time or anything like that. The harvest is plentiful. The issue is our labor, is that we won't put the time in. Does that make sense? I understand that some people are genetically disposed to have certain benefits that other people don't have based upon genetics, but the truth is many of us are lazy. Oh, it got quiet now. We just lazy. And so the three questions we have to ask ourselves, and this goes back, the first one when it comes to harvest is your heart ready for harvest? Is your heart ready for harvest? And when I talk about your heart, remember, mankind is three parts. We are spirit, we are soul, and we are body. The spirit is often identified as the heart in scripture. So is your heart ready? If you were to get everything you're praying for today, is your heart ready for it? Is your heart ready? If it all shows up today, what you gonna do? I often ask this question when I have the opportunity to go in and speak to younger audiences. I was doing a manhood program and I went into these brothers. I was actually in the juvenile detention center and I went and I asked these brothers, I said, you know, if you got everything you wanted, what you gonna do with it? And so I had first asked them, you know, what do you want? And one guy was like, 20 bands. I'm like, all right, 20 bands. And he said, 20 bands ain't gonna do nothing. I want 100 bands, 100 bands, 100 bands. So they throwing all these numbers out because in their mind, all they want is money. So they throw all the numbers out. I said, okay, so you get your 20 bands. What you doing with it? Well, I'm breaking off my mom's. I'm gonna break my mom's off some. How much you give a mom? At least half. That's what's up. Then I'm about to go buy me a, I need some wheels. Okay, that's cool. What you getting? Big box Chevy. That's what's up. You're gonna get a big box Chevy. I should be able to get one of them for about $2,000. Okay. So you done broke your mom off half. You got 10 left. And when bought you a $2,000 big box Chevy, I hope the engine run and the transmission is working because we in trouble. So you got your $2,000 big box Chevy. This is rough, but cool. So you got 8,000 left. He was like, and I said, what you gonna do now? Well, I gotta put some feet on it. Well, okay, we need feet. We need feet. We got it because you only got 8,000. We need feet. So you spent $4,000 on feet. You just spent $4,000 on feet. You got $4,000 left. What we gonna do now? You're not riding down the Berg in silence, are you? You gotta have some music, don't you? He said, well, my boy can put it in. Probably gonna cost me about a grand. I said, okay. We down to 4,000. We down to four. Are we at three? Oh, yeah, you're right. We at $3,000. I missed a stat. We at $3,000. We at $3,000. And so we at $3,000. You ain't ate nothing, but you got feet. You don't have tires. You might not have tires depending on, you know, because you about to try to put 26s on a big box Chevy. I don't know why you would do that. But you got feet. Let's say you got a deal. You got feet. We don't know if it run, and it might be. We ain't put no paint on it. But you got feet and you got music. You done broke your mom off half because you about to have to ask her for a loan. You down to $3,000 and you ain't eight. You ain't got nowhere to live. I guess you're going to live in the big box Chevy. I guess you're going to live in there. So the point that I was giving to these young brothers is sometimes, first of all, what you asking for, you don't even know if that's enough. Second of all, you don't have enough wisdom to ask the right questions. And then if you got it, you would be a poor steward over it. Now, we laugh about the $20,000 scenario, but I need you to apply that to any area of your life. Some of you are asking for things, and if they were to come, first of all, some of those things would be the product of your flesh. And then secondly, you wouldn't know what to do with it if it showed up. Amen. So is your heart ready? Is your heart ready? And when I say is your heart ready, is it filled and is it guarded? Is your heart filled? Is your heart guarded? Somebody asked me, because I've been talking about these three questions for a while, and somebody asked me, you know, Bishop, when you talk about guarding your heart for harvest, what exactly do you mean? Listen to this. Each thing that we go through, Everything you go through has an impact on us. I tell people all the time, you are the sum total of your experiences. So everything you go through has an impact. Listen, and if you're not careful, you'll allow previous pain to keep you from future blessing. I need to say that again. I said, if you're not careful, you'll allow previous pain to keep you from future blessing. So once you've done the necessary work to like purify your heart and soften that heart, because some of y'all done got hard and cold, amen. You don't let your heart become cold and callous because you don't want to miss what God has for you. Don't let, so that's what I mean by guarding it, because I don't want to miss it. I don't want to be so bitter, so mad, then I'm missing my blessing right in front of my face. So is my heart ready? Number two, is my soul ready? Your soul is your mind, will, emotions, intellect, and imagination. Is it ready? God, if you give it to me right now, do I have the right mind for this? Do I know who to ask the questions to? Do I have so much ego that I'm unwilling to say I don't know what I'm doing? Amen. Because I'm telling y'all right now, you know, some folk in here, if you lottery players, you don't even have a CPA on dial. So if you won, you don't know what to do. Oh, it's quiet in here. It's quiet. You don't know. Never mind. I'm going to leave that alone. Is your body ready? Is your body ready is the third one. If you get everything you're praying for, do you literally have the physical, tangible disciplines to handle it? The physical, tangible disciplines to handle it. What God has coming before many of us is going to mean you need to eat different. You need to wake up different. You need to work out different. You can't keep praying for that and you act the way you act. Your diet ain't good enough for that blessing. Amen. Can't remember the last time you worked out and you talking about God, give me more. The more would take you out. Does that make sense? So we're given four steps: reaping, threshing, cleaning, transporting. Reaping, threshing, cleaning, transporting. Let's go to the scripture. Acts chapter 9, please. We're going to go through these. Acts chapter 9. Reaping, threshing, cleaning, transporting. And we used Paul and his transformation journey to really look at all four of these steps. So let's begin at Acts chapter 9, verse 1, and we're going to start with verse 1 through 7. So this should be in your notes from Sunday. Verse 1 through 7 is the reaping. Because, again, Paul wasn't trying to be harvested, but the Lord had other plans. Now Saul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up, enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do. The men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Stop. So this is when Paul himself is harvested. The Lord's acquiring him. And now hear me. During the reaping, you are pulling that thing out of its current environment of comfort and saying you don't get to be there no more. Now remember, I told you guys that during harvest, there's two phases. Either I'm being harvested or I'm harvesting somebody else. Now, if the Lord don't have you fully, then you are in phase one. Amen. Now, here's what's going to happen. You got to make this decision. Am I willing to leave the place I should have never been in the first place? And if not, trust me when I tell you, you cannot win against God. He will snatch you. Because Paul is the man. Go back and study him. Paul is the man. He got authority. He has money. He has resources. He got a full army that could travel with him. The high priest is on his side. But when God wants you, God gonna get you. There's no amount of money, influence, or any of that that can stop God from snatching you. Amen. Come on now. It's like when a mother snatched a kid out the street that's about to get hit by a car. That mother will snatch life out of you. And we're like, we'll apologize later. I know I knocked that arm out of socket, but that's cool. It's cool. But you're alive. It's a, your arm hanging, but you're good. Huh? And so the Lord snatches him. Now, some of us need to get snatched right now. Huh? Some of you need to get, as a matter of fact, I pray it. If you're not where you need to be in God, I pray the Lord snatch you tonight. No, seriously. Because, listen, it's too much going on in this world for you to continue to be comfortable on a road that you shouldn't be on. See, the premise about Saul is you're on a road you're not supposed to be on. And the Lord's like, I made you for this, but you're doing that. So here's my prayer. I ain't gonna even hold it from you. I'm gonna tell y'all exactly what I'm praying. Lord, everybody who ain't on the road they supposed to be on, snatch them. Snatch them off. If they don't like it, they be all right. Snatch them, Lord. If they doing something they ain't got no business, snatch them. And sometimes, watch this, snatching you is exposing you. Okay. I believe it is the great Mike Tyson who said, come on here. I believe it is the great Mike Tyson who said when they asked him about his time in prison, he said, it was the best time of my life. And they looked at him and they said, what you mean? You was locked up. He said, it's the best time of my life. I learned peace. In other words, Mike had to get snatched. If he wouldn't have got locked up, he wouldn't have got peaceful. Sometimes you got to go through something you don't want to go through to become something you can't become without it. Huh? Yeah, I don't want to go through that. He says, yeah, but you're going to be better once you go through it. Yeah. You'll be better. So he snatches him. That's the reaping. Lord have mercy. For so many of us, people who are listening to me right now on this stream, those who are in this room, you talking about, Lord, I don't want to go through it. Lord, why I got to go through this? Why is it so bad? Because he had to snatch you. And when he was trying to whisper, you didn't hear him. Yeah. Amen. Let's keep going. Verse 8. Help us, Lord. Saul got up from the ground. His eyes were open. He could see nothing. That has to be something, don't it? Leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. He was 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drank. This is a problem. Lead us up. Go back. Leave verse 9 up. So the first step is reaping. What's the second one? There we go, class. Threshing. Now, I'm saying here that verse 8 and 9 are my threshing steps. When threshing happens, there's a couple things that happen during threshing. There's a couple things that happen. You are separated, you are crushed, and you are reduced. During threshing, you are separated, you are crushed, and you are reduced. Now, the beauty about this is we don't like it, but it's good for us. Because threshing doesn't destroy anything that's usable. Right. That's not what threshing does. Threshing is about removing the unusable parts. That's what threshing is for. Threshing is to get you down to the most usable state. So I separate the usable from the unusable. I crush everything that should not be, and I reduce you only to what is necessary. And we don't like that. We don't like to being reduced to what is necessary. Because, watch this, some of us right now have as much as we have because having a lot makes you feel like a lot. Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let that sit there for a second. Having a lot makes you feel like, and I'm not talking about a lot of joy, a lot of peace, just a lot of stuff. You didn't need them 10 pair of pants. Oh, that got quiet. You didn't like that? I stepped on somebody? Why you need all of that? Because watch this. The reason that you can find no peace is because complexity is an enemy of progress. If you only have one pair of blue jeans, you do not have anything to choose from. In the absence of complexity, you have focus. You can't get your mind right because you have too much. Mm-hmm. That's why you're never on time. That's why you feel like you're always rushing. That's the midst of your anxiety because, watch this, you actually have more than you currently have the capacity to manage. Oh, it's quiet in here. And watch this. If you keep showing God that you can't manage a wardrobe, what makes you think he's going to give you resources like money? If you can't manage 5 pair of jeans, you certainly can't manage a bigger check. It is quiet in here today. I'm enjoying this class. I'm enjoying class. So you like, Lord, give me a raise. He's like, no, I can't give you a raise because you can't manage your shoes. Because I know that if I gave you the raise, you'd go buy more shoes. The shoes you have right now are causing you to never know what you're going to wear. They're causing you to think you're better than the person next to you. They're causing you to never show up to any of your commitments on time, which means you're not a person of your word, which means you're not a good steward over the things that I gave you. Though the things you have are causing that. So you want me to give you another job, a bigger job, more resources so you can go buy more things that are going to take you from me? If I don't have you with a little, what makes you think I'm going to have you with a lot? See, when you learn to manage at this level, God is like, to whom much is given, much is required. But to whom much is required, much is given. And so we come to this threshing place where there's separation and crushing and reduction. And this is the place he's sitting there. And I could just see a second ago, but I can't see now. That's threshing. I'm eating, everything's all good, I'm powerful, I got all this stuff, and I go from the man to no eating, no drinking, no sight. Instantaneously. That's threshing. Can you handle the threshing? Now watch this. We know on the other side of the story that everything's going to be great for Paul, but he didn't know that when this is going on. Please understand, we're reading the story already knowing the end. But in the middle of this, Paul don't know what's going to happen. He don't know he's about to see Ananias in a minute. He don't know Ananias is going to lay hands on him and he's going, all he knows is I'm blind. I don't know what happened. I saw a light and I haven't seen since. Oh, that's a message right there. I saw a light and I haven't seen since. Oh, that's good. And I have to now be led. I go from being the leader to I've been reduced. I've been reduced. I was the leader a second ago. I was in charge a second ago. And now the people who used to serve me got to lead me. That is something. I'm feeling some type of way. That's threshing. Because watch this. Sometimes you can be big even though everything around you is unusable. Oh, boy. Remember, the corn stalk can be 8 foot tall and only have 3 ears on it. That corn stalk can be huge and only have 3 ears, and some of them ears could be damaged. So you can have an 8 foot corn stalk and get one good ear of corn. And so you feel some type of way. You mean to tell me you've reduced me from this 8 foot corn stalk to one ear of corn that fits on a 12 inch plate? Huh? I got reduced. And I feel some type of way because I'm used to being the big guy. Now I'm the little thing. God is like, yeah. But watch this. All of that size, none of that was edible. Yeah, all that bigness, but none of that was edible. God was like, I reduced you down to something that is usable. You were big, but unusable. Okay. You were huge, but unusable. And watch this. Sometimes we want to stay big so that we can remain imposing, but we're unusable. God is like, if you let me reduce you and get you down to your potency, see, this is why so many of us want to be generalists instead of specialists. God is like, stop trying to do everything and let me do the thing that you, come on here. This is, okay. In the Deion Sanders experience, Lord have mercy, on that team, there was a young man by the name of Travis Hunter. Yes, he is there. Travis Hunter plays both sides of the ball. He plays offense and defense. Uh-huh. And the NFL has now come out and said, if you ever want to go to the next level, you can't play both sides of the ball. We know you're doing it in Colorado. I'm glad that you can play offense and defense. But if you want to move on, you're going to have to be reduced to one position. He feeling some type of way. Because here it is, at his current level, I'm the man. Huh? Everybody is saying, I'm the greatest two-way player in college football. But watch this. If you want to go to the next level, you got to focus. And some of us, oh, you like the press more than you like the usability. When I'm here and I'm at this level, I like what everybody says about me and I like what everybody thinks about me. But God is like, listen, if you want to go to the next level, you got to let me reduce you and make you potent. Make you potent. Huh? Come on, make you potent. And okay, I'm going to say that. Yes, I will, Lord. This is why some of us never get to relationships, because you're trying to be everybody's girlfriend and not one person's wife. Yeah. Everybody's boyfriend and not one person's husband. Yeah, it's a difference, right? Huh? See, relationship is about being reduced. Yeah. I can't be with everybody. Can't be with everybody. Okay. Is this making sense to anybody? Let's get to cleansing. Verse 10. Let's go to cleansing. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Come on, get him right. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. Ananias, he said, here I am, Lord. Verse 11. The Lord said to him, get up, go to the street called Straight, inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He's praying. Keep going. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he may gain his sight. Leave this up. So he's been blind. And he hasn't eaten for 3 days. And then here comes Ananias that's about to go and start the cleaning process. The threshing process has been happening, but now I got to get you cleaned up. And to get you cleaned up, watch this, I'm going to send somebody to you who's going to remove the scales from your eyes, because that's what's going on. I'm going to remove these scales from your eyes, and I'm going to make sure that you're ready for the next stage. Please understand, listen. The steps of harvest are not done by the seed. I need y'all to hear that. Remember, phase one, I'm being harvested. Phase two, I'm harvesting others. In phase one, if I'm being harvested, I don't get to reap myself, thresh myself, or even clean myself. The steps of harvest, see, okay. Here's what I have found. Some of us want to come before the Lord and say, all right, I've already got myself all cleaned up. I'm ready to go. God's like, that's not the way this works. You need to come bring all of that you tow up. I'm going to take you just like that. You got to let me do it. Huh? You got to let me clean you. Have you ever noticed that babies don't give themselves a bath? Right. Babies don't give themselves a bath. When you try to bathe yourself, you're trying to be more than you are. You got to know that you're a baby when you come before God. I'm incapable of bathing myself, because what I want to do when I come to the water is play. I want to splash, because I have no understanding of contamination. You put a baby in the water and all they want to do is splash around. They want to flail. As a matter of fact, some of them will cry when you put them close to the thing that can help them most. Because they'd rather stay funky. Seriously. They just rather stay right there. Huh? That baby done had a blowout. Huh? That baby done had a blowout all up their back. All up their back. I mean blowout status. All up their back. And the baby just sitting up there like, this is great. This is fantastic. Huh? I had a professor tell me, well, listen, I'll never forget it. Freshman year, my professor told me, I gave him a book full of all of my compositions. And he said, everything in here is terrible. I felt some type of way. He said, everything in here, you ain't gave me nothing that's good. I felt real bad. And he said, oh, did I hurt your feelings? That's what he told me. He said, did I hurt your feelings? I'm feeling some type of way, but you know, I'm trying to be strong. He says, oh, he says, I see. He said, you're like a baby. You're like a baby with their poop. I said, what do you mean? He says, oh, you know, a baby. They'll poop and they'll grab it and they'll smear it all over their cribs and they'll smear it all over themselves. And they actually think it's good because it came from them. I made it, so it has to be great. He said, that's what this is. He said, this is your poop, and you think it's good because you made it. And some of us, God is like, listen, first of all, you're getting egged on by sinners. Okay. Yeah, You got other sinful people who think you fine. You got other sinful people who said that you're good at whatever you do. You got other, you're getting egged on by sinners. You ain't asked God. He's not impressed at all. He thinks it stinks. It ain't gonna get you the glory. Just because you're being applauded doesn't mean God is pleased. Especially when you're hanging around other people who have none of God in them. If I am constantly being applauded by sinful people, it means nothing. Come on, y'all. And this is why some of us make our circles out of sinners, because we don't want to hear the truth. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers. That's in Psalms 1. That's the word. It says, the ungodly are not so. So what we do is we surround ourselves with the ungodly so that we never have to face the truth of our own stench. And so here it is. Here comes Ananias. I got to clean you up, because here it is. God has you. You've been crushed. You've been reduced. And now I got to take you to the next phase. But in order to do that, you got to get around people who want to see you at the next phase. Huh? They want to see you better. If you're around jealous people, they're not going to get the scales off your eyes because they prefer you blind. Jealous people prefer you blind. Jealous people will not tell you the truth. Everybody not jealous. You're right. Everybody's not jealous. But many people are. Many people are. And they're not jealous at you. They're jealous at what you represent. Oh, come on now. Maturity doesn't take jealousy personal. Okay, thank you, God. Maturity doesn't take jealousy personal, because what most people are jealous of is the opportunity that they wish they had that they see present within you. Many people don't know you well enough to be jealous at your personhood. They're jealous at what you're experiencing. Amen. It's like being jealous. It's like being jealous with Jeff Bezos because he got money. You're jealous of resources, not Jeff Bezos. You don't know him. You don't know him. And many people don't know you. Come on now. And sadly, because we do church wrong, we can be in the same church and not know each other. Oh, we're going to talk today. Just because you worship with me doesn't mean that we know each other. Come on now. In order for us to know each other, it got to get beyond the Sunday morning experience. It got to get beyond we sing songs together and clap and sway on 2 and 4. It got to get beyond that. To know each other, you got to let your guard down. And you got to start doing life with each other. And you got to be friendly and show yourself friendly. In order for us to actually be the church, you got to recognize that you're not every part of the body. Which means we got to eliminate the ego. You're not every part of the body. You are not deep and wonderful. No, you are not. You can't do it all by yourself. No, you cannot. You are not a whole church all by yourself. No, you are not. You are not the prophet to the nations because you haven't even prophesied to yourself. No, 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 no. You got to tell the truth. Lord, I'm out here and I need some help and I need some people to come around me and give me the truth and tell me when I'm not doing right. I need a body. I need a family. I need some people who are going to tell me the honest to God truth. I need some people who are going to speak the truth in love. I need some people who are going to rip me and yank me and sometimes tell me that you're nasty and you're foul. That's what I need. Don't be patting me on the back when I need to get hit on the butt. Come on, tell me. Don't coddle me when I need to be corrected. That's not love. That's abuse. It is abuse to coddle those that need to be corrected. That's abusive. Okay. That's abusive. We running around. We looking for people to sit up there and just be like, oh, poor little thing. At some point, somebody got to say, listen, this right here, this ain't going to work. If you want to grow, stop doing this. Stop doing this. Stop doing this. Not tomorrow. Today. And so when Ananias comes, he's like, Brother Saul, okay. We got stuff. Okay, keep going. Go to verse 13. Oh, man. Oh, man. Come. Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard about this man. Oh, Jesus. I've heard about him. Go to verse 14. Come on. He has authority, chief priest, to bind all who call on your name. Verse 15. But the Lord said, go. He's a chosen instrument of mine. Leave this up. Go. He's chosen. He came to bear my name before this. Remember, he says, these people who I want you to harvest, they like sheep without a shepherd. Ain't that what the Bible says? He says they're disinherited. The people who God wants you to harvest ain't going to have it together. The church done got so bougie, we don't want to actually go after people who the Lord wants us to go after. You want everybody to come in the church to already have it together. No, some people going to still reek of alcohol. Some people going to have a joint in their pocket. Come on now, and a bag of weed in the other pocket. Some people ain't going to know how to find all the scriptures in the Bible. And we got to work with them people. Some people need to go to the index. Some people still, come on now, you got you a baby mama, or two, or three, or four. Come on now, it's some people in here that ain't paying their bills. It's bad credit up in this place. It's people who don't know how to be husbands. It's folks that don't know how to be wives. I dare us get to a place where we don't remember how good God has been to us. I dare us get to a place where we figure out that his grace has not brought us far, and we act as if we came out of the womb singing Kumbaya and always singing Amazing Grace. Some of us have been way far from God, and he's been very, very good to us. So when folk come in here and they ain't got it together, we got to go harvest them. Go get them. Don't act like the new song that you learned to sing, you always knew how to sing it, because some of y'all DMing folks right now. Come on, get it right. Amen. Some of these churches would empty out if Jesus walked in them. Mm-hmm. Sure would. Because he go to asking questions like this. He who is without sin. That's the way Jesus talked. Jesus went into places, got to turning tables over and stuff. He was like, you done made this house a den of thieves. Den of thieves. I need you to understand. Listen. Many of us long for the old way of life. You know why? Because we're good at it. We're good at it. You know how many people I've seen get a job and quit the first day because they got to work harder being righteous than they did when they were slinging on the block? Okay. See, we y'all play too much. Huh? You try telling one of these young brothers who was doing it, who's rolling out here, and you tell them they about to make $4 an hour, and maybe they gonna get a tip. They like, nah, we good. Because watch this, you can't simply transition them out of that life into being a waiter or working at McDonald's, and there's no amount of sign-on bonus that's gonna do it. You gotta transform their heart first. You gotta help them understand that there's a mentality shift that needs to happen first, because you're not going to be able to beat the world competing with world tools. You gotta do something on the inside of them first, and then you can say, listen, I know you were making more here, but you didn't have no peace. You was always watching your back. I understand that you seemed like you was rolling here, but any day you could have lost your life. Your family could have been damaged forever, but here at least you have stability, and this is how you work your way up. You gotta teach them something. And we don't want to do that in the church, because oftentimes we're only interested in your gift and not your heart. If you can sing, we'll put you up even though you're going to hell. If you can play, we'll let you play even though you're going to hell. If you can preach, we don't care. Come on now, up in this place. I'm sick of seeing these articles where these preachers done got caught up in all of this sin, and ain't nobody got nothing to say about it, and that's sad. And if the church got enough money to pay for their sin, we paying folks off. Come on, we might as well be like the mob up in here. Oh, it's quiet. We might as well be like the mob. Come on now, we doing settlements. We doing settlements. We need to do altar calls. Yes, Lord. We doing settlements. That's what's hitting the paper. Pastor so-and-so had to settle with sister so-and-so because he did so-and-so with sister so-and-so. And so here's what hits. Not repentance. Not repentance. Not none of that. Settlement. If I got enough money, y'all be quiet. Now, that's the truth. That's, huh? If you're in phase one and you're being harvested, you need to submit to that harvest. You need to submit to it. If you're in phase two and you're supposed to be moving forward, you need to submit to labor. You got work to do. Stop walking by people talking about, well, they too far gone. You was too far gone. Huh? Some of us up in here was too far gone. You got snatched. And here's the other piece. Why are you seeking God to snatch people when you next to him? Oh, y'all didn't hear? Huh? Why are you telling God to go snatch him and you talking to him? And you supposed to be his representative. Get him, God. You get him. You're going to send God on an errand mission. Huh? Go get him, God. Listen, that is so anti-biblical, I don't know what it is. How you going to send God? God is a spirit. Okay. And how you going to send the Holy Ghost? They don't have it. How you going to send Jesus? He ain't here. We supposed to be salt and light. So what you doing? You can't send God, he's a spirit. You can't send the Holy Ghost, they don't have it. You can't send Jesus because he ain't here. So what you doing? Complaining? I'm praying
so hard for my Uncle Nim, but you won't talk to him.
You won't even say good morning. I'm praying for my children. I'm praying so hard for my children. But all your children see from you is the sin. You ain't got time for them. You sit them in front of the TV and turn their show on. Okay. Let me say one more thing before I move on. Y'all all right? Everybody's okay? All right, listen. So if you're in phase one, submit to being harvested. If you're in phase two, you got to submit to labor. Now, let me say this. The presence of labor has nothing to do with the fall of man. Excuse me? When we hear the word labor, somewhere, okay, I think some of us think, like, I shouldn't have to work because God has been good. Mm-mm. Please understand. In the garden, before the fall, God told Adam to tend it. Which means that God gave him a job even before he messed up. Okay, so labor has nothing to do with sin. It has everything to do with God's will. If you don't want to do the labor, you don't want to do God's will. Huh? Labor is not connected to the fall. The only thing that happened during the fall was the labor became harder. Sweat, thorns, and thistles. That's the only thing that the fall did. Without the fall, there would be no sweat, there'd be no thorns, there'd be no thistles. That means that by the power of the Holy Ghost, you can have a sweatless victory. But you're going to have to tend. It's going to happen. You got to tend the garden. Does this make sense? Labor is not punishment. So I got reaping, I got threshing, I got cleansing. And all of those things, truthfully, can make you feel isolated. They can. They can make you feel painfully isolated because you're reaping, I'm no longer in my comfort zone. Threshing, I feel like I'm being crushed and reduced. I'm losing things. Cleansing, stuff is coming off of me. And sometimes, watch this, depending upon how dirty I am, you might need to use something that's abrasive. Depending upon how dirty I am, you might need to use something. Come on now. Because some of us is lava soap dirty. Y'all don't know nothing about lava soap. Got that pumice built in. You need a little abrasion. Huh? And so you can feel painfully isolated. But please understand, coming out from among them is not punishment. It's a blessing. You're not losing when you come out from among them. No, you're not. When God pulls you out from among them, you ain't lost nothing. You've gained everything. Huh? Listen. Sometimes you feel like you're walking alone, but you're not. That's actually a slap in God's face. You're walking with him. Huh? The Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. That's enough. What does the scripture say? If you're for me, who? Who can be against you? I mean, you know, if God be for you. I mean, why? Come on now. But some of us are so used to having a crowd that we think that God is less than a crowd. Oh. God is like, who you think I am? I say stuff and it happens. Huh? I say stuff. I can make animals talk. I can make mountains skip. In other words, God is like, I ain't what you want.
I'm not to be trifled with.
Does that make sense?
So the blessing, when God begins to pull you out, he is setting you up for utilization.
He's setting you up for utilization. And that's what transportation is. So when we go through the steps, you got reaping, you got threshing, you got cleansing, and then you got transportation. Go to verse 17 for me. Watch this. Go to verse 17. We'll skip one.
So Ananias departed and entered the house. After laying his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Spirit." Go to the next verse, please. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. He regained his sight. He got up. He's baptized. Keep going. He took food. He strengthened. Now for several days, he's with the disciples who were at Damascus. Keep moving. Look, 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 look. And immediately he began to proclaim Jesus. Wait a minute. In the synagogue saying, "He's the Son of God." 21. That's it. Is that it? That's all you got? That's it. I thought it was 21. So, all right. So immediately he began to proclaim. Oh, yeah. All those hearing him continued to be amazed and were saying, "Is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on this name and who has come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests?" Now, please understand. A minute ago, I was killing folks. I've been completely snatched out of that life. And in a matter of days, I'm a preacher. If that ain't transportation, I don't know what it is. I've taken this thing that was over here in this life and put it over here, because that thing had to go through a process, though. It had to be snatched out, reaping. Then it had to be threshed. Then it had to be cleaned. And now it can be trained. See, you can't. If he would have walked in the synagogue before, that's a whole different ball game. But this is what transportation is. Now, let me watch this. When the harvest is transported, this includes you. The environment changes. So that means you're in a new place. You know that God has transported you when you're in a new place. Now that's not always tangible. When you're in a new place in your heart, when you're in a new place with your mind, I don't think the same way about stuff that I used to think. The stuff that used to get me don't get me no more. Huh? The stuff that used to make me act one way don't make me act no more. See, I've been transported. Y'all see that now? Are you seeing what I'm saying? The stuff that used to bother me don't bother me no more. The stuff that used to make me want to slap you in the mouth, I don't want to slap you in the mouth no more. I've been transported. Now when I see you, instead of wanting to punch you in your eye, I got compassion for you. Come on now. I got compassion. I want to pray. I want to talk. I actually want to get this thing right. That means you've been transported. If every time you get around them, you're restraining, you ain't been moved yet. If every time you're around them, you simply give yourself a pat on the back for not doing what you want to do, you ain't been transported yet. You might be in the threshing or the cleaning stage. But once you got transported, that feeling ain't on you no more. You don't even want to. Huh? I remember when my father said he lost the taste of alcohol. He lost the taste. He'll tell you, if my father was here, he would say he used to drink a fifth of liquor on his way to go drink. Yeah. For the drinkers in here, y'all know that's something else. He on his way to go out and drink, he drink a fifth on the way. On the way to drink. He said, but God snatched the taste from him. See, that's when you've been transported. Not when I got a restrain from drinking, I lost the taste. So when it's been transported, you got an environment change. Number two, you got an outlook change. When I say you got an outlook change, these are new opportunities. Stuff that you wasn't interested in doing before, they open up and you like, you know what, I think I'll try that. So this is for people, yep, Lord, I'm going to say that. You know, I don't really like people. I don't like being around people. See, what part of your life is that? Huh? That's not God. That's not when he says we're one body, many members. So all that introvert, all that I don't like to be around people, all that I keep to myself. No. You got to get transported out of that. And you got to understand there's some opportunity to say hello and to get involved and to do the work of ministry. Come on now to have a conversation and stop being so closed off. That's just me. No, it's not. That's not the way God made you. He made us to be together. He made us to have all things in common. No, he didn't. You became that way. You became that way because of pain. You became that way because of circumstance. You became that way because
of conditioning. You got conditioned to be by yourself. You got conditioned to be isolated. Somebody told you you couldn't go out and play with the friends down the street. And now you believe you ain't got no friends down the street. Come on now. Somebody told you you had to go to your room and not come out and play by yourself. So you became an introvert. You became isolated. And now when it's time to be around people in church, you come in talking about you getting the word for yourself and then you leave out. But God is like, no, I want a body. I want people to come together, say hi, stick around for a while, be friendly, be nice. Come on now. Get transported out of that. Get transported out of that. My closest sibling is 10 years from me. My sister is 10 years older than me. From there, it's like 11 years and like 12 years. They are older than me. So I got brothers and sisters, but it was easy for me to feel like the only child. Okay. Huh? It's easy for me to feel like the only child. I got brothers and sisters. But when I'm 6 years old, my sister was 16. She didn't want to have nothing to do with me. Huh? I want to play catch. And she like, I want to go drive. She didn't want to have nothing to do with me. And I'm not speaking against her, but that's just the truth. I'm six. She's 16. She want to go do stuff with her friends. She don't want to bring her little six-year-old brother with her. My brother was older than that. He trying to kick it. He ain't trying to bring me along. This is the height of the 80s. What was they going to do? You know what I'm saying? Trying to fool with me. So it was easy for me. I was able to get a grand imagination. I learned how to play catch with myself. See, y'all don't want to talk. I go to the front yard and I see how far I can throw the ball up and I catch by myself and I throw it that way and I'd run and I'd catch it and I throw it that way and I'd run and I'd catch it. I learned to play catch by myself. I played soccer with myself. I took the soccer ball and kicked it against the house and fielded it against myself. I played football by myself. I learned how to throw the football up and run long and catch it myself. I dove and I did. I played baseball by myself. So here it is. I come to church and I didn't need nobody else. I get my little army men and I'd put army men all over my room and I could have me a full battle sequence with all of my army men all by myself. Huh? So if you wanted to, you know, judge me, plays well with others, flunk. Because the truth is, it's not that I didn't long for companionship. Come on now. When you've been told no so many times, you quit asking. Don't nobody want to talk. Don't nobody want to talk to me today. How many times am I going to ask you, do you want to play catch? You're going to say no so many times? Cool, we ain't playing catch. But watch this. If you learn that as a little boy, you grow up as an adult that don't want to do nothing with nobody. Many of us are right there. I need y'all to tell the truth and get transported. This is why we got so many churches that are isolated and we got individuals, not bodies of Christ. This is why, come on now, the only time we're together is when you have a choir. But even when you have a choir, do you ever notice that more drama happened in the choirs than happened in any other place in the church? Let me tell you why the drama gets so bad. Because, watch this, that's a place where unity should be exemplified. But instead of unity being exemplified, messiness is magnified. We can sit in the pews and be quiet. But you got to get transported out of that. So I got an environment change, I got an outlook change, and I got a purpose change. I got a purpose change, new responsibilities. I got a purpose change. Come on now, my purpose is different. I'm different. I got a different purpose now. Yeah, I know. I know Gigi is a lot. I got a different purpose now. My purpose before and my purpose now is not the same thing. I don't get to just sit there and say, all right, God, I'm going to do sinful stuff and put a God label on it. That's why I don't like some of this music. Okay. All right. Some of this music that we call in godly music ain't godly at all. Come on now. Why you got background dancers? Okay, y'all not talking to me. Where they do that at? Why you got background dancers? Why your shirt unbuttoned all the way down here? I thought we were talking about Jesus. Why you gyrating like that? What's all this gyrating and booty dancing going on? Why you booty dancing and gyrating? Why you doing all of that? Why your shirt down and you're trying to do sexy Jesus? Why you doing all of that? Seriously. And we talk about, I can't wait to see what? Sexy Jesus. Come on, stop. That's not what God wants. If we think that that's holy, we gonna hate heaven. It's quiet. Up there.
moving and shaking. All I can think about is that Tyler Perry movie, Gyrating on This Land. That's all I can think about. Jesus, I think Jesus is looking at some of this like, I died, and the most y'all can do is that. All that bleeding and dying I did, and y'all gonna repay me with that. I take some of these gospel rappers, they say they do gospel rap. Ain't nothing wrong with gospel rap. But if I take you, said gospel rapper, and put you next to Lil Uzi Vert, and y'all look the same, which one is it? If this Lil Uzi Vert right here, and this you, huh? Uzi for Jesus. Huh? I got Lil Uzi Vert and Uzi for Jesus. Y'all next to each other. Huh? And your music sound the same because you don't have enough good stewardship to actually have original beats, so you took his beats.
Come on.
Okay. So you took his samples off YouTube like we wasn't going to hear that that was his. Huh? Because you didn't have enough stewardship or wherewithal or inner creativity to have your own stuff, and then you bring that into the church, you contaminate this space with that music, and then wonder. Okay. The Lord does not harvest you to stay in the same space. The Lord does not harvest you to think the same thoughts, and he does not harvest you to do the same things. That's not what it is. Come out of there. Got to be transported. It's not like, you ever notice when Paul gets done? I'm going to say this, I'm going to pray. You ever notice that when Paul gets done, Sister Pat, he goes in and he starts preaching? He didn't go in the synagogue and the same people who had him killing people, he didn't say, let me go kill them now.
Right.
Think about that for a second. It's not like he took the behavior and flipped it around on the other people. That's not what he did. The chief priests were paying Paul to go kill the Christians. Paul didn't become a Christian and decide to go kill the chief priests. He didn't say, now I'm a Christian, time to go get y'all. That's not what he said. Because I don't get to do it the same way. That's what we do now. Huh? I murdered righteous people, so now I'm going to murder other people. That's not the way this works. He harvests you to come out of that place, to think a different way, and to do something different. Is this making sense to anybody? So I got to be, he has to reap, you got to come get me, thresh, cleanse, and transport. You got it? Yes?
Yeah.
Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for truth. Thank you for what you've said, what you've done, and how you have challenged us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all. Y'all learned something tonight?
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.